The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. Whether you're listening in Washington, D.C. on WAVA 105.1 FM, or if you're listening in Columbus on AM 880 or 104.5 FM WRFD. Wherever you are listening, I am absolutely honored to be your guest host today. Well, you may be receiving $1,400 in the mail if you're a married couple. It's possible you could be getting $2,800 in the mail. And if you have a family, you could receive almost $6,000 in the COVID relief package. Okay. I, for one, will appreciate it and try to spend it very, very wisely. But I am smart enough to know this money is not free. We're going to pay for it, folks. We're going to have higher taxes. Listen, you're going to pay for every penny of that stimulus check that you're either going to get in the mail or will be deposited in your bank account. So I think that should be troubling to all of us. It's not free money. Nothing from the government is free. Somebody's got to pay for it. And it's us. It is us. But there is so much pork in this COVID relief thing, especially. Well, I don't know about especially, but in the realm of education. Did a little bit of research today on where the money is going, this $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. And here's the bottom line. Percentage-wise, very little of that $1.9 trillion is actually going for COVID relief. Very little. Now, I said this the other day, but it's absolutely true, and it bears repeating. If the liberal left proposes a piece of legislation, they will always put a name on it. They always do. The Affordable Care Act, the ACA. And that's, I mean, Republican, Democrat, there's always a name to a bill. But if it is proposed by the liberal left, look for the name of the bill and understand this. The real purpose of the bill has nothing to do with the name, and it's usually exactly the opposite. Well, it's true. It is absolutely true. Well, the COVID relief bill coming out is going to do wonderful, wonderful things for education for the next 15 to 20 years. Yeah. K through 12 schools are going to receive $129 billion in the COVID relief bill. $129 billion in the COVID emergency relief for America's schools. Now, here's the only problem. Well, it's not the only problem. Most of it will not go immediately to schools. Out of the $129 billion, now listen carefully, of the $129 billion, only $6.4 billion is going to go to schools in the 2021 fiscal year. $6 billion out of $129 billion. The Congressional Budget Office, which is a bipartisan office, projects that $25.7 billion will be spent in 2024, $19.3 billion in 2025, $9 billion in 2026, $2.6 billion in 2027, and $1.3 billion in 2028. In other words, it has nothing to do with COVID relief. Yeah. Oh, there's much, much more, but I hate to keep people holding on the phone, and we have Howard in Hyattsville, Maryland, and I am deeply honored to welcome Howard to the program. Hey, Howard, how are things in Maryland today? Welcome to Bob Burney Live.
Pretty good, Mr. Bob. How are you, sir?
I am blessed far more than I deserve, and that's the absolute...
Hey, it's good to hear you in Ohio. All my family's in Ohio, and on the borderline, West Virginia. And
really?
Well, yeah, I've been up in D.C. somehow, so after the military, so I want to be in here most of my time. But it's always good to talk to someone from Ohio, too.
Well, and you pronounce it the way a lot of people in southern Ohio pronounce it, Ohio.
Oh, do I say? Yeah, because they're a friendly state, you know. Every time you come into town, everybody's saying, Ohio, Ohio.
Well, Howard, I am delighted that you called. What's on your mind?
My question for you was, I listen to a lot of the ministry, different ministry on the Wave Station here in D.C.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you think, you know, I think we're getting to, like you say, the near end of the days here. Like they always say, a lot of ministry says that now, that we're getting pretty close to the end.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking what you thought about what you were talking earlier about the pro-life and pro-abortion and also the girl-boy thing where they want to do this and make boys girls and all like that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think a lot of these things are causing this with the world to get in this predicament we're in, I think?
Well, yeah, I do. I do, and I believe it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Some people believe theologically that before the return of Christ, things are going to get better and better and better and better, and the goodness of man is going to usher in the kingdom of Christ. I think the Bible teaches exactly the opposite. Things are going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And we are certainly seeing that, Howard. I mean, we really are. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. We are rejoicing in things that are evil and sinful. And we are condemning and attacking that which is good and righteous. It's similar, Howard. I'm reading through the Old Testament right now. And I'm in the book of Amos right now, and the prophet Amos was talking about Israel and how they had gone further and further and further away from God, rebelled, and got worse and worse and worse. And finally, God said, "Okay, that's enough. That's it. Done. Finished. Over." And that's not exactly parallel with New Testament times and the return of Christ, but I think there is a lot of application there, and things are getting worse. And Howard, I'm a student of prophecy. I'm not an expert in anything, but I can't think of a single biblical prophecy now that needs to be fulfilled before the return of Christ. Not one single prophecy. So I think we should be ready.
I was going to say, do you think the coronavirus is part of this coming down on us, the wrath?
Well, I don't know about the wrath part. That certainly is possible. But is it the wearing of the mask and so forth, the mark of the beast? No. No. But Howard, it is preparation. Look at how easily the entire world, I mean the entire planet, has been told, you have to wear a mask, you have to do this, you have to do that. And the entire planet has said, okay, all right, we will. Well, the Antichrist someday is going to say, you either take this mark or you cannot buy, you cannot sell. And the whole world is going to say, okay. So, again, is it the mark of the beast? No. And I see people saying that, you know, it is not. But, okay. Howard, it's getting us ready for it.
Yes, I'm preparing every day more and more.
Well, I think we all should. Yes. And we need to be ready, Howard. Hey, listen, I am not a defeatist. I am an optimist, but I'm a realist.
Yes.
And I am not looking for things to get better in America. But
it doesn't look like it, no.
Howard, I am praying for revival.
Yes.
Because historically, we have seen wonderful revivals break out when things got really bad for God's people in his church. And things are getting really bad for God's people and his church. And I think we should seek revival. I think we should pray for revival. I think we should expect revival.
So, because I remember after 9/11 how good it got for people, but then all of a sudden they just walked away from it again. But I don't think they're going to do
four
it
weeks.
This time.
Howard, 4 weeks. There was this huge burst of church attendance after 9/11, and in 4 weeks, America was right back to where they were in the number of people attending church. It just took 4 weeks, that's all. Yep. So I know this, Howard. God is in control. This is not a time to lose faith and lose hope. It is not. Hey, Howard, I got to go. Thanks so much for the call.
Take care of yourself.
Hey, God bless you, man. I am so glad you called today. My number, 877-BOB-LIVE. I'd love to talk to you, 877-262-5483.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Something that I emphasize on my program constantly, and I mean constantly, continually, is balance. In all things balance, I believe the devil lives in the extremes. I don't care what subject, I don't care what topic it is. If the devil can get you to go to one extreme or the other, he wins. In the church, a big part of that is the battle between legalism and license. Hey, God delivered me from legalism years ago. Legalism kills everything it touches. That's an extreme. But the opposite extreme is license. God doesn't care what you do. Hey, we live under grace. We serve a forgiving God. God doesn't care how you talk, where you go, what you wear, what you say. God doesn't care because we're saved by grace. That is a heresy straight from the pit of hell, just as much as the heresy of legalism. In the middle between legalism and license is liberty. Paul said, hey, everything's legal, but not everything is expedient. I can do anything I want to do, but everything's not good for me. Not everything honors and pleases God. Well, there is also the balance between the free will of man and the sovereignty of God. And I know all about the raging battle between Calvinism and Arminianism, and I'm really not talking about that. I am neither a five-point Calvinist, and neither am I an Arminian. I am somewhere in between. I said all that to say this. We're living in perilous times, folks. I mean, we really are. I believe this current presidential administration is going to take America to places where we have never been. And I believe with all my heart that the liberal left destroys everything it touches. I do believe that. The liberal left destroys and kills everything it touches, whether it's the political left or whether it's the theological left. Take a look at what the left has done to Protestant denominations in America. I double dog dare you to show me one Protestant denomination in America that is under the control of the left theologically that has any life left whatsoever. All of the mainline Protestant denominations in America under the control of the left, which is almost all of them, have little or no life left at all. They're either dying or they're absolutely dead. And that is a fact. What killed them? Left-wing theology. Well, that's exactly what will happen politically as well. The liberal left, if allowed to control America much longer, they will kill America as we know it. Okay, so what do? Free will of man, sovereignty of God. We do all that we can do. We become politically active. We study the candidates. We vote. We become active in the political system. But at the same time, we understand that we serve a sovereign God, and God has a prophetic calendar. Now, again, I'm a student of prophecy. I don't claim to be an expert in anything. But I know enough about biblical prophecy that God's got a calendar, and nobody's changing it. This election did not go the way most conservative Christians wanted it to go. But I assure you of this. After the election, God Almighty did not march up and down through heaven looking at his prophetic calendar and saying, oh my goodness, now what am I going to do? I've got to change this and I got to change that. And, you know, I was going to have Jesus return on X date. Well, I'm going to have to change that now. Nothing and no one is going to change God's calendar in any way, shape, or form. Nobody, no political system, no president, no king, no dictator. God knows exactly what's going to happen, and it is going to happen exactly as he has willed it to happen. His calendar will not change. So, we exercise our human responsibility. We do what we can do in the political system that God has allowed us to live under, but we never, 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 never ignore the spiritual aspect. We do not ignore the church. We do not ignore our responsibility to be first and foremost involved in building the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of America. Please remember that. You never avoid your spiritual responsibility in your local church and your responsibility to win people to Jesus and disciple them. You never, ever avoid that in any way, shape, or form in order to be involved in politics. Your spiritual life is first. Your relationship to Christ is first. Your responsibility to the heavenly kingdom is first. Then you do what you can do politically. You pray. You trust God. It's a cliche, I know, but God's got this. This is not a time to lose hope or to be filled with despair. Now is the time to trust, believe, and be a light in a very dark world.